Hello. I think everybody should be coming in. Let's see. Hi, this is a meeting style call. So Coach Kara here, you will see that you will be able to see yourself. If you would like, you are welcome to put your screen on so we can see everybody. I'm going to go ahead and mute you all just to be on the safe side. Going to not mute myself. How's everybody's Thursday night going? This is the monk meal call. So how's everyone? Where's everyone tuning in from? Pop it in the chat. Where are you? What are you doing? Have you had your monk meal yet? Again, this is the monk meal call. I'm going to spotlight me for everyone. If you would still like to see all of your No BS sisters, up in the right-hand corner where it says view, you can put it to gallery view. That's actually how I'm going to have you guys set up. So because I love to see y'all's faces. It's my favorite thing to be able to see everybody here and to just really get to see y'all's faces while we do these things. You know, we all the time love seeing you on Facebook. I know I spend a lot of time on Facebook with you guys, and you guys spend a lot of time on Facebook together, but to be able to see one another is really cool. So if you're in a place where we can see you, go ahead. All right. Can you, somebody put something in the chat and say hello? I currently don't see a chat at all. Let's see. Nobody's there yet. Can anybody see the chat? Emily, can you give me a thumbs up, or somebody with the reactions down at the bottom, if you can see the chat? Perfect. Here's the problem. Thankfully, Emily's on the call. Will you hang out in the chat for me, Emily? It's not allowing me to see the chat at all. So thank you. While we are doing this, I'm going to go ahead and give you a rundown of what tonight's going to look like. This is the monk meal call. So you should have already had a monk meal. If you're like, Kara, what in the world? I didn't know I had to do a monk meal. I don't even know what a monk meal is. Don't worry. You will get something out of this call. Really what we're going to do is I'm going to help you figure out some of these old beliefs that are taking over while you're eating. What is a monk meal? Super simple, y'all. We just sit, eat quietly, by ourselves in our own brains and record what's going on. Super simple. We get the question a lot, is there a worksheet for a monk meal? No, there isn't. All you need is a piece of paper and a pen, your food and your brain. That's all you need to be able to do a monk meal. So if you did not do your monk meal, do not worry. If you did do your monk meal, I want to know, in the chat, well, I'm not going to be able to see it. I want to know how it goes. Since I don't have a chat, we have reactions at the bottom. If you're looking at the bottom of your screen, I want you to click the reactions. It's going to be an emoji smiley face with a plus. And I want you to give me the celebration guy, this guy who's in my left-hand corner, if you did your monk meal. If you are just watching on and you can't wait to learn everything, give me a thumbs up. That way I can see. Or if I can see your face, just tell me, did you do a monk meal? Go like this. I want to see. Oh, I got lots of monk mealers. Yay, that's so exciting. I had a monk meal too. I ended up eating pizza. Very, very interesting thing. My husband is going to dinner with some friends and they're having pizza. So I wanted to do my own monk meal around not going to dinner with friends, but I was still going to eat what they had. So I went ahead and ordered and had it DoorDash. Uh-oh, Lori. I've got you on the share screen. I'm going to take you down. Oh, please stop. Lori. It's not allowing me to exit out. Hold on. I'm so sorry, guys. More. Got it. Got it. We did it, guys. That was my bad. I forgot to do screen share. Oh, advanced screen share. Only host. We're good now, guys. I always forget something. These Zooms, right now, I can't see what you guys are saying. I can message Lori all day long, but I can't see her or what you guys are saying. Anyways, back to the monk meal. I am so sorry about that. I did it on pizza. That's what I was working on. But a lot of you guys are going to find that these monk meals, the reason we have you doing them right now, we're in the middle of this 2-pound takedown. And we are in the midst of it. We know what we're doing. We're watching our foods. But a lot of times we hear from you guys and we see in the Facebook, I hear from my private clients, you want to be paying attention to when you're eating and being aware of your thoughts while you're eating, but you can't seem to remember it in the moment. If that is you and I can see you, give me a hand raise, because that is me. That was me for a really long time. You know, you want to remember and you are like, I can spit out everything I should be thinking. I know what I might be thinking in the moment, but for some reason, I cannot be there in the moment to make either the decision I want to make or even just be aware of what's going on while you eat. That's why we do this monk meal. It gives us a chance to turn out the entire outside world. All the entire outside world is turned off. You're sitting alone with your food and your brain. It gives us a rare opportunity to be able to truly view what's happening inside of our brain, especially while we eat. So, you guys who think it might be a little hard to do it at home, there are some places that you can do this monk meal, not just sitting at home alone, because I can guarantee you, if I can see the chat, I bet I could see somebody's thinking, well, Kara, there's a lot that's going on in life. When in the world do you think I'm going to sit down and eat by myself, uninterrupted, all of those things? Well, life happens and it's kind of hard to find those times unless you absolutely plan it, which we would love for you to do. But if you cannot, I want to challenge you. Like, for example, if I was going to dinner tonight, what could I do? I could decide that I will sit there quietly and just see what's happening, see what's going on. Where is my brain going? Take note of it. Pull out the notes app. Take some notes. You can do a version of this monk meal no matter where you are. If you're a mom and you have kids running around like crazy, just take a moment. Sit with your food, sit with your brain, and see what's going on. Now, tonight we're going to talk about what to do with the things we found. I told you there was no worksheet. All you had was a blank sheet of paper to write down some things. And if you found something, you had your monk meal today and you found something and you would like coach on how to move forward, I would love to coach you on how to move forward. So who has an example of a thought that they had during their monk meal? You're welcome to raise your hand. You're going to use the reactions down at the bottom. You can raise your hand and I will promote you to panelists. And if you don't even want to be on screen, you can raise your hand as well. And I will just ask you to unmute so we can talk back and forth. All right, Jules. Hi, Jules.
Hi there.
How was your monk meal tonight?
It was really good. I found, I wrote notes. I found a couple of different things, and the one that came up for me is that my brain goes to the things that I'm frustrated about in my life automatically. Like it's, and I'm like focusing on my food and I'm enjoying my meal. And then I start thinking about problems going on and I'm like, well, this is certainly not enjoyable.
Right.
I would much rather look at my phone and read a book or something than I would to think about all the terrible things in my life. So that was the really interesting thing that I was like, I immediately went to things that I like to avoid and escape. Things that usually cause me to eat.
Ooh, that is so interesting. Well, that would make sense if it causes you to eat at other times during the day, that you're going to be thinking about these things while you're eating. Correct?
Yeah.
Right. So tell me some more of these things. What is so frustrating? What were you frustrated about?
So I've got two. They're both pretty deep. I have, and I've been working on them. I've been coached on one of them and doing a ton of journaling. And that is that, and start with the harder one. I've been a cancer patient for 5 years. Mm-hmm. So my brain goes to the, you know, often, and I have esophageal cancer. So, and I'm blessed to be one of the 4% of people who gets to live. So I'm super excited about that, but I start thinking about, oh, is this reacting the way it's supposed to in my body, which seems, you know, is it going to my esophagus? Okay. Am I thinking about that? And then I'm like, I don't really want to think about cancer right now. So then I started thinking about my mom, and I've, like I said, I've been coached on this and I'm working through journaling. I'm even doing the relationships workshop right now. Mm-hmm. She's chosen not to get vaccinated. And so I can't see her in the middle of all of my cancer treatment. Okay. So those were the things. And I was like, I don't want to think about either of these things right now.
Right. What would you want to be thinking about?
Exciting things going on in my life, things that are interesting, art projects that I need to figure out what the next step is.
Do those things sound fun?
To me, they do.
They do. Good.
Yeah.
As long as they do to you. I just want to make sure they sound fun to you. Yeah. So why do you think you're not thinking about those things? Why do you think, rather than all of these fun things that you know you want to do, why do you think your brain goes straight to those things?
I don't know. That's a really good question. Is it because they have priority in my life and I'm worried about them?
I think they have priority over your thoughts.
Okay.
Think about it. If you're sitting and eating, there's no distractions, nothing going on. Of course, if the first priority is going to come up, if your first priority is worrying about the world, worrying about being able to see your mom, worried about your own body, making sure, trusting your own body, those are going to be your first thoughts that come up. And I think a lot of you guys are going to find that like, as you are looking at these thoughts, you look down at your sheet and you're like, oh my gosh, I immediately go to those things. That's a really quick red flag of how you're describing life. Because it's the first thing your brain is attached to when everything else is turned off besides you and food.
Okay.
So, Jules, what do you think you can do to be able to make the other side louder? Rather than the negativity taking over, what about the other side? The ones you want to be thinking about. How often are you thinking about those in the day-to-day lives?
So, I know with my thing that I do in both cases, I use the worry bucket. I give myself time to worry about those things. Mm-hmm. I remind myself often, that, and I'm doing the best that I can with my cancer right now. And that's like, I can't do anything else. Just have to keep doing the best that I can do. Mm-hmm. And, with my mom, I remind myself that I have taken all of the steps that I'm ready to take at this moment, and I'm not quite ready to take any more, and that's okay.
Okay. So it's important for you to remind yourself in the moments that you've already taken care of it, but it may mean it's just a little bit more work. Like before you sit down and eat, like put that to bed. The next time you do a monk meal, it'd be really interesting to see if things change. It's another great way of like collecting data. Where are you at on your thoughts? As you sit down and have your next monk meal, you'll be able to see, are your thoughts more positive? What you're working on. The good news is you're working on these things, Jules. While they're taking over thoughts when you sit down to eat, you're actively working on them.
Yeah.
But it's important to remind yourself in the moment, we're working on these. I don't need to spend so much effort here. You can talk to your brain like that. You can say, you know what? That's not what, just like what you said you were doing. This isn't fun. No wonder I don't want to sit here. If you recognize that, what matters is what you do after you recognize it. We like to spend ourselves beating ourselves up over things we're unaware of, but that's not really fair to us. We were unaware of it. Just like up until now, you may not have been aware that you had those thoughts when you sat down to eat sometimes. Now, look out for them. You know what's coming. You can get ahead of them if you need to.
I like that.
Does that help, Jules?
It does.
Good.
I really like the, and I'm working on those things.
Yes.
So I can let them go right now.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I like that a lot.
Good. Remember that. That's the most
important. I will. Thank you.
You're welcome. All righty, Jessica. Hello, Jessica.
I am a newbie. I just started last month. Thank you. This is my first coaching call that I've ever been.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I think I just sort of misunderstood that mm-hmm. part about monk meals. What I imagined a monk meal would be was just me sitting and thinking about the food that I'm eating. Mm. And so when I did it today, I was really surprised at how distracting my brain is. Yes. It was like, I might as well have been with somebody else. I just had so many, you know, thoughts. And so that's what I was going to get some coaching about, was just, is that normal? Is that what I should expect? Is it like meditation where I should be trying to focus on the food or just observing the thoughts?
So this is a fantastic, beautiful newbie question. Newbie, listen up. This is a great example of how things in No BS mean different things, but it's up to you what it means. So a lot of our members do a monk meal with the Fuck It Foods worksheet, which is more of that meditation to see, like, as you're eating, you're focused on your food. We break it down by bites. You take a bite, you write what you think about your food. That is more of a meditative, like trying to go through your foods and doing it. Some people do their monk meals this way, especially if it's going to be like, for example, say you love Chick-fil-A sandwiches, and every single time you order it, you eat it, and the next thing you know, it's gone. And you're like, I wanted to leave 3 bites. That would be when you'd want to do one of those meditative Fuck It Foods worksheets alongside of it. And some people do that. However, this monk meal, you got to do it however you wanted. So I'm curious, what did you learn from your monk meal that you did? Tell us how you did it, and what did you learn?
Well, I travel a lot for work, traveling yeah. right now. And so I eat in the car a lot, which mm-hmm. is, I don't know, it's easier for me to be distracted and just eat whatever when I'm in the car, right? Yeah. So this time I parked so I could really like focus on what I was eating. And, so that was just kind of how I did it, was just trying to focus on that. And then I guess what I learned, I expected to, I don't know, like have more focus on the meal. And I just was paying attention to a lot of other things. So I don't know, I guess in the past, or like as I've tried to figure out what my hunger is, my signals, being distracted is one of those signals. So mm-hmm. on one hand, I think maybe I was just so hungry that I was just distracted by everything. Like,
focused. Well, for you, was your stomach hungry? Like, did you have physical, like, hunger cues?
I don't feel like I did, no. Okay. In fact, like, so it was a situation where I was eating sort of, like, I had to go into a jail for a couple of hours. I knew I was going to be in the jail. I couldn't eat. So I was like, I'm going to eat to make sure that I don't get hungry later. So then I thought, well, maybe I'm not really that hungry. And that's why I'm so distracted, is because I'm really not that hungry.
Yes. And so this would be something you could really learn from this. So the next time you know that you're going to be going into a jail, or you know you're going to go somewhere where you cannot eat, because I'm sure if you're going to places like jails, there's probably courthouses you go into and other places that you also go into where you can't necessarily just bring your granola bar and whip it out whenever you're ready.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So this is a really great indicator for you to look at that and say, okay, maybe on these jail days, I need to be really aware of what I'm eating and when I'm eating. My brain's going to want to go different places. My mm-hmm. brain's going to want to try to go off and like linger, but maybe those days are the days that I'm really intentional about my eating. Because maybe, Jessica, you may do this, but you probably eat in the car a lot. Are you normally that aware of what you're doing while you're eating?
I have tried to get more aware, but mm-hmm. but certainly I feel bored in the car because I'm driving a lot, and And so then I just think, well, it won't hurt to, you know, like I brought food today for my breakfast so that I would not have to stop and eat breakfast. Well, yep. Man, I had extra food in the car, right? So, you know, I did.
Why was there extra food in the car if you were all done? See, this is another thing we can learn. Like, maybe we just throw away our breakfast when we're all done.
But I'm driving, so I'm...
Are you worried about getting hungry later in the evening?
Do what?
Are you worried about being hungry later?
No, it really was just a matter of like, okay, well, I'm going to stop. I'm going to leave two bites, but then I'm driving. So I can't just like throw it out the car window. So it's there. So then like after an hour, I know I'm not hungry, but I'm like, well, if there's still some, I can finish it. Like, you know.
But do you see where by us talking through it, you, mm-hmm. Jessica, now know that the next time you just throw breakfast in the back seat, you may pull it out and eat it and just fuck it, eat it. Like, okay, this is something for me to eat. That's where it's up to you to decide what to do moving forward. We have an action that we have found that we don't necessarily love, like, and it's not getting the results we need. So we're going to look at it and decide what we want to do with it. So Jessica, what are you going to do the next time you eat in the car to ensure that you either don't eat it again, uh-huh. or you stop earlier?
I think I'm pretty good at stopping earlier, but I'm also good at going back to finish it. So I think what I could do next time is sort of throw it into a place in the car where I can't reach it.
True. You
know, like throw it into the back seat, because I like a lot of times I'm in a hurry. I can't just stop and even take time to throw it away, but I could like throw it into a corner where I just can't reach it so that I'm not, or at least less tempted by it.
Yep. And that is worth the level up. That is exactly everybody listening. Do you see how we, no matter how she did her monk meal call, she still has more stuff over her monk meal, but we opened up talking about eating in the car. That's why we do these. It opens that dialogue. It opens your brain up to be able to get in there and figure out what's really hanging us up. That's the whole point of these monk meal calls. Is that helpful, Jessica?
Yes, it is. Thank you, Kara.
You are so welcome. I'm proud of you for being here. I'm proud of you for raising your hand. But I'm ultimately proud of you for doing the work. I love that. I love that. You're welcome. All right, Paula.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. So what came up for me was that I started off just eating. I'm like, it was my lunch break from work at home, ate at my dining room table, and it left my phone at my desk and sat there with nothing. And I kept looking for my phone to grab it to check, scroll through social media. And then I just sat there and I kept thinking, I'm not making the most use of my time while I'm eating. Mm-hmm. So that kept coming up. And so I kept thinking, well, I could at least be answering a few friends, like personal stuff, not even work, just doing other things while I was eating. So that's what came up a lot over and over.
Let me ask you a question. Do you feel like you do a lot all the time and you never have a time for a break?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
What do you think your monk meal was telling you? What did you find out? What did you learn from it?
I think that I've just always associated taking the break to eat as like taking a break to do all the things I would take a break to do, I guess.
Interesting. Is that what you want eating to be, a break?
No, and I've been working on that to to not use it as a release of emotion or... So I've stopped letting myself walk into the kitchen when I'm feeling like I need a break. So,
I like that. Let me ask you a question. Where were you in your hunger while you were eating? Like, were you paying attention to your body or was your brain only on what's next?
I paid attention to my hunger up until I started eating. Uh-huh. And then I think I didn't bring myself back into that moment to pay attention to when I felt satisfied, because then I just started thinking about all the stuff I could be doing as well as eating at the same time.
Oh my goodness. That's a great example of why we overeat. Like, truthfully, think about it. That's what's happening. We're just watching. That's what a monk meal is. We're just watching our brain, seeing where it goes, why it goes there. And so when you start to eat and you recognize that your brain's no longer there, that means it's time for you to check in while you're eating. And it goes back to that intentional time. You're wasting your time, Paula. You're not even checking in on your hunger. The whole thing. You know what I mean? Like,
The only thing I can say. Totally. And the only thing I can say about the monk meal was that I did, like, I kind of was like, well, I think I'm done because I really do want to go, like,
I talk think to my I'm friend. I'm, okay. This, oh my goodness. So you may be done a whole lot more earlier than you've been thinking, right?
Right. Totally.
I want to tell you, Paula, you said something earlier about, like, you wanted to be on your phone. One of my hacks for when I'm really trying to pay attention to my hunger, if I'm by myself or if, like, we're even around people or doing something, I notice that when my brain starts to go to my phone, like want to pick up and scroll, that means there's no more food that shall enter the mouth. Like, because honestly, your brain has already moved on. We're no longer thinking about the food. If it was your primal brain, it would be like, no, we need to focus on this food. We need to focus on this food. Yeah. Just like you were all done focusing on your food. It was time to move on, but you had to sit here and eat this.
Right. I was like, this is so boring.
Right. And we like to think that eating takes, like, how long did you sit there?
I think it couldn't have been more than 10 minutes, like, honestly, because it was a salad and I did have to chew a lot, but it couldn't have been that long.
Right. We have so much more time.
Right.
And think about it, Paula, if you were focused on your hunger and you're like, okay, I'm all done, you could have moved right onto that list, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it was odd that I never noticed those thoughts before. But I think what I do when I take my lunch break, I do tend to turn away from my computer, but I will, like, you know, check my phone while I'm eating or do my personal stuff that I'm not working, you know, doing for work. And so I've just kind of thought of this multitasking, but I haven't ever really thought it through. So this was a big eye opener that I'm doing that.
Okay, perfect. So what are you going to do next time? How is your normal day where you flip around from the desk, you turn away from the desk? How are you going to do it differently this time?
That's a great question. Hold on one second. Hold on, Sophia. I'm on the phone. So I think I want to repeat the monk meal.
Okay.
And being more thoughtful about really just because I didn't think about paying attention to my hunger while I was doing that. I was trying to pay attention to what thoughts came up. So I think now I'm aware of what's going to come up. So then I can kind of bring myself back to my food. And yeah, it was uncomfortable. It was weird.
Well, and you know, a lot of us, when we overeat, we're like, why in the world do we overeat? Why do we sit here and choose to overeat these things? Well, you're uncomfortable. When we're uncomfortable, what do most of us do? We turn to food to feel better. So we sit there and keep eating. But now that you know you're uncomfortable, you now know that you may not need a 30-minute break. It may be in your best interest for a 10-minute lunch break. And then go ahead and layer in those things that are bothering you already to get those taken care of. So you can pay attention to your meals versus just going through it nonchalantly, the same thing we are always doing.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
You are
so it's definitely an eye-opener.
I'm glad. I'm glad you're going to do it again. It's something you can do over and over and over again. And I love that. Did that help you? Did it answer your questions?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Perfect. All righty. Anybody else have any questions? I'm going to pop into Slack. Emily, are there any questions in the chat by chance? I don't know why it won't let me in the chat. Nobody else had anything? Joan, did you do? I heard you. I see you, Joan. Joan, did you do a monk meal today? Donna, is your hand raised? Oh, hello, Donna. It was up and then it was down. And I thought you were like, I answered your question. What do you mean, Donna?
I don't really have a question, but I thought if we had time, I'd give a comment that I thought was really interesting. Mm-hmm. So I did mine with fast food, and I did it in my car parked somewhere after I left the drive-thru. And that's a situation that I used to do a lot before No BS. And it was almost always like I wasn't even hungry. And then I ate way past full, like to the point of stuffed sometimes. And so this time I was concentrating on my hunger. Mm-hmm. And I was concentrating on the food. Like, do I even like this food?
Yep.
Well, I found out that I do like the food. Mm-hmm. But what was really interesting to me was when what I had purchased was like almost halfway gone, I had this panic thought that I used to get all the time. Like, it's like I only have half of it left. I should have ordered more. Like, I should have doubled up my order or something. And this time, then checking in with the hunger, it was like, I'm not satisfied. Like, I don't even need, and I was hungry. I waited until I was really hungry to even go to the drive-thru. So I was hungry. And then like less than half of it was more than enough. And I know that that's the point in the past where I would have just like panicked and been like, there's only half the food left. Like it's not going to be enough. Yeah. And I should have gotten more. And I just thought, wow, okay. So
yeah,
this is why we found No BS, right?
It is. And that was a really great example to you of how far you've come in No BS. Like,
yeah, totally.
To be able to do that, to be aware. I mean, yes, we were doing this intentionally as an intentional monk meal to be very aware mm-hmm. of what we're doing and what we're eating. Not only were you intentional, you were able to stick to it. But you were able to see how far you've come, Donna. Like, that's huge.
Yeah, it was huge. It felt really, really good. So I think I want to do another one now with like at home with like normal food that's not like, you know, didn't used to be something that I overate a lot.
Yes.
And for that one, I want to more watch my thoughts. Like, where does my mind go when I don't have distractions?
Yes. And I love that you're talking about doing it in different places. Like Donna, she's having a hard time in the car. So she did it in the car. She's going to go home and do it at home. That's probably where she does 90% of her overeats. She may do it at work one time. It really is. This monk meal is just a chance to be able to look and see what's going on. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Donna.
Such a good tool.
Around it at all?
I don't think so. No, I feel really good about it.
Thank you so much for sharing. All right, Catherine.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Oh. So I've actually been doing a monk meal a day for about the past week.
Okay.
And I've been doing that since the first time I heard what they are. I was like, I'm going to try that because I'm at home now. And so usually, and one of the things I've found since starting No BS in the beginning of August is I really don't need to eat so much food. And I don't even need three meals a day anymore, which just blows my mind because I was always being, we have to stop. We need lunch, you know, got to have a nice big breakfast, got to start your day.
Yep.
And I don't find that now at all. But one of the things that once I learned what a monk meal was, I thought, oh, well, usually my one other meal a day that I have besides dinner, I always eat by myself because I'm the only one here. My husband's out and about doing stuff. And he eats breakfast and I don't tend to eat until later. So I might eat, you know, not eat until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I started doing the monk meals and I purposely made it time when I was going to think about all the stuff I've learned in No BS. So I was like thinking about my food, thinking about No BS, thinking about the different things that have affected me in life. Excuse me, I'm going to cry because it's been so intense. But one of the things that I also found is that the first couple of days when I did it, I would just like try to eat fast because I want to get up from here. This is boring. There's nothing going on. I'm sitting on the island, you know, in my kitchen. There's nothing here distracting me. I purposely shut my phone off and put it in another room. I couldn't hear it ding or vibrate. No TV, no music, no nothing. And it was like, wow, this is so boring. And I realized how much I used to try to distract myself all the time with other things so I could just keep eating because, hey, I'm reading this No BS thread. I'm going to keep eating while I'm reading that. So I think that doing that for a week every day, it's been really, it's just like opened up my mind a lot.
Yeah, I'm really glad. Now, let me ask you, Catherine, are your tears tears of joy or are they tears of pain?
I probably pain because it's been so hard. Like some of the stuff that I write every day, and when I think about how I always used to call myself a fat fucker all the time. Every day I'd wake up, I'd be like, you look like shit because you're a fat fucker every day, and how hurtful that is, and how very hurtful that is, and how, you know, it's only been, what, 6 weeks, 7 weeks of thinking about that. And thinking, I actually remember one time I said that to one of my friends, and she verbally went, hey, don't talk, you don't say that about yourself. You're not. And just learning all these things about this through No BS has just, it's been earth shattering for me. It's kind of ironic. I'm sitting here bawling my eyes out in front of all of you, but the reality is, on the inside, I am a happier, calmer person today than I was 6 weeks ago.
Well, and the reality is, I think we all know exactly how you feel because we all are No BS women, and we all have that story where we do recognize that we are the meanest person to ourselves in the room, and that's unfair. But I want to caution you, Catherine. Why are you doing it every single day? Do you like doing these monk meals daily? Because
you know what? It's given me a time to reflect.
Yeah.
And I do like it. I mean, at first I did, and I was bored, and I would try to rush through it. Yeah. But when I started to say, okay, I need to be more purposeful and more mindful about this, mm-hmm. and kind of sit down and think, why am I doing this? And that's when I started to think, okay, I'm doing this because I'm an OBS woman. I'm doing this. And why am I an OBS woman? And I just kept going through all the whys of why am I here and why am I doing this? Because it would have been easier to flip the TV on or grab my phone and do that kind of thing. I don't know that I'll keep doing it, but I know that I did it for that week and it's good. And I don't even remember, I don't know if I heard about a monk meal on the Facebook thread or where I'd heard about it, but yeah. That's when I decided to do it.
Well, that's good. That's fantastic. Yeah. Now, Catherine, I'm going to ask you, since nobody else has their hand raised, I'm going to double check it. Nobody else has their hand raised. I just want to make sure that you don't want coaching on any of those things that you've come up with on your monk meal days.
You know, I still, and I'm sure that I'm not the only one here, but I have lost about, I'd say 12 pounds since I started. And I always have that fear of, yeah, well, when's it coming back?
How do you think it's coming back this time? Do you have any evidence of that?
No, I don't. And you know, and the reason I'd heard about No BS from a woman that worked for me about 2 years ago. She, when I hired her, she came to interview and she started about a month later. And when she came in, she wasn't reporting directly to me, but I said to her, wow, you look different from the interview. And she was like, yeah, I lost another like 25 pounds or something crazy like that. And I was like, wow, what did you do? Mm-hmm. And she said, well, if you like to get your ass kicked around, and she told me about No BS. And at the time I was traveling a lot and I looked into it. I listened to some of her podcasts and stuff, but I really didn't have time to deal with it. And I didn't, you know, I never did anything with it. I just knew it was there and I still got emails and I just knew it was out there. Yeah. And then I went to the doctor and the doctor was like, well, you know, you'd be a candidate for bariatric surgery. And that made me feel really bad because I have a sister that had bariatric surgery. A couple of my friends have had it, and they all end up having their gallbladder removed, and they all have these other issues associated with it. And I knew that it wasn't making my stomach smaller that was going to make me stop eating. I knew it was my head. It's just like food and sex, it's your head. That's your head, you know? And I knew that. And that's why I was like, I got to go look at that no BS stuff again. And that's when I joined in August as a newbie. Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad you joined. And I want you to be proud of yourself for doing everything that you're doing. You're allowing yourself to process and feel a lot of feelings. I know that it's been a rough week of doing these monk meals with us and doing and figuring out what this is, but know this is actually a gift to you. Because everything that you're feeling, it's that's all that pain and pent up stuff that's been sitting in there. Like we're just airing it out. And I'm so glad that monk meals have been able to be an avenue for you to do that. And you guys listening, seriously, if it's hard for you to like feel those feelings, do it intentionally. Plan it. Just like you do with your food, intentionally plan those feelings, whether it's frustration, figure out what that feels like. Okay, guys, that's what you got to do. All right, Catherine, thank you so much for sharing your
story. Thank you, Kara. With me
and for just being willing to do it for you, because we do deserve this.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Kat, are you ready? I see you moving around. I'm asking you to unmute. Got lots of people with hands raised now. Guys, you waited. Hello, Kat. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
I'm doing very well today. Did you do a monk meal?
No, it's not so much a monk meal. I figured a couple of people in one of my groups were like, yeah, she's not getting many calls, and I do want to get like people raising their hands, and I do need to be coached on something. It is weight loss related.
Fine.
Maybe I should have a monk meal, but I don't know. Well, technically, I do monk meals.
You should try one.
Because I live alone. I don't watch TV. So it's just me and the two cats, really.
Sounds like you're a great monk mealer. What do you need to coach on?
So I have this very small window where I cannot get past. I get down to between 227.8 and 228.8. And I've been there probably the past 20 months, I'd like two dozen times. I get down there and then I shoot back up.
All right, Kat, what do you make it mean when you weigh 228? What happens?
Now it's turned into stuff. Before I was just like, okay, well,
what have you turned it into now? What are we making it mean now?
A huge issue. Because
well, what is the huge issue? Let's answer. Like, what's going to happen?
It's like I can't get by this number. I can't lose. Like, I see a doctor in weight management. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many times weight management surgery has been offered to me? And I'm like, please never bring this up again. It either has to come off like this or I'd stay where I'm at. And neither. So she's like, so journal, because she knows I'm doing this program. I'm the most successful patient she has in her program because I haven't had the surgery to lose my 100 pounds. It's come off like with this program. And she knows I do this. So she's like, increase your protein, which at the time I was a vegetarian. Mm-hmm. I'm like, do you know how hard that is? Do you know how many cans of beans I'd have to eat in a day?
Right.
So she's like, she wanted me to cut my carbs.
Okay. I'm like, hold on. I don't want to hear any more about this doctor. What I want to hear, Kat.
Well, like, I'm a diabetic. So she, and I'm like, I'm not cutting my carbs. I already have this. Like, as soon as she said, I'm like, no. Okay. No, if I can't do it, figuring it out with what I'm eating as it is, I'm not
doing it.
Like, good. I already put it down with that. But I did start journaling here and there. And I have not been a consistent journaler.
Mm-hmm.
The 227, 228, you know.
Let me ask you a question. What is Kat doing differently at 227, 228? Actually, let's say 220. We're gonna blow past this number in our brains, okay? I want to know, what is Kat doing when she weighs 220? What's the difference between you today and you then?
Nothing really. Like, I'm just doing my thing. I make my plan every morning. I might follow my plan a little bit more.
Okay.
I'm better at that because I've been like, so I have an appointment at this time today. Am I going to feel like cooking lunch or doing something quick for lunch? Like, I'm learning. What
are you not doing other than planning? We already know you're planning. We know she's probably going to follow her plan a little bit more. But in your brain, the reason I'm asking you this is in your brain, I have a feeling you may be thinking there's a lot of big change coming. That to get past 220, or to get past 228, you're going to have to cut those carbs that they've been talking about.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I already know not to do that. Yeah. All right. So,
I'm a type of guy. What's holding you up?
Carbs, but that's all I count. And I'm not going crazy, like restricting, because I know that's not what I want to do when I get to goal weight. I don't want to have to eat 50 grams of carb a fucking day.
It's okay. We're not going to.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, so like, I'm not even starting that train of thought. Like, oh, we got to start restricting. We got to start cutting. Cause that's not something I want.
Okay. Then you tell me what it's going to be then.
I don't know, but I have a tiny, tiny, tiny feeling.
Okay.
That I have been fighting.
What is the tiny feeling, Kat?
The journal.
Raise your hand.
Okay. The journal. Oh God, I don't journal.
Why?
So I came into the tribe in 2019. I was journaling. I journaled every day, and I've been journaling for over a year. And then the shit hit the fan with some of the stuff with a friend. And I just, nope.
Well, let me ask you one more question.
Yeah.
Is journaling where you only do bad journaling? Is that where we go to write our sorrows, or do we go to celebrate there too?
Well, with the breakup, it's been where I have gone.
Right.
To write some shit.
Here, let's try something new. Okay. This week, what you're going to try new is you are going to journal positively. I want you to journal on all the good things. I want you to neutralize this journal. Right now, it sounds like he's a horrible monster. You don't want to do it. It sounds painful. So, of course, you're not going to do it.
Well, I tried to make this whole journaling thing fun.
Yeah.
This is my job. This is my job. Okay. Again, from lists, sometimes from the PNP journal. I have prompts from Chasing Cupcakes in there. I have.
What about from just your brain, Kat?
But no, I'm not ready for that. Don't ask why I'm not ready. I need something for me to focus on, because then I like legit sit there and stare at my journal page.
Okay, fine. I'm going to give it to you. Pull your things, but only do positive ones, okay? I don't want you pulling ones and it be a negative one, because
they're just like, what are your core values? What do you really believe in? You know, stuff like that.
Okay. So what time are you going to journal tomorrow? Or are you going to hop off here and just go ahead and start your journal? When are we going to do this?
So don't tell anybody, and I know there's a couple of women watching, but I've journaled like 5 days in a row.
Oh, girl. Okay. Why are you on here wanting coaching on journaling then, Kat?
Don't journal. Because watch. Normally what happens is I mention that I've journaled. So well,
let's not do that this time. What are you going to do to not do that this time? Is Kat going to give up this time? No. Are you going to give up this time? I want you to tell me. Are you going to give up this time?
No,
you're not going to.
All right.
You're going to journal. This is going to, it's time. You know it. We know it. Now 800 people know it. More than 800. If everybody in the world on the podcast player listens to it, all 1,200 people are going to know Kat's journaling.
All right, I'm journaling. Well, I've been posting in the morning my prompt for the day.
See?
Because I've been really like.
Okay. I'm serious, though. If you're starting to get the wiggles, like, I don't want to journal anymore. I don't want to do it. I want you to make sure it's just positive. If Chasing Cupcakes Girl gives you something to talk about and it goes negative, I want you to switch it right back. You swing it right back, or you throw that thing back in there and you pull something else out. Okay? Keep it positive.
I will.
Does that help?
It does.
It was good to see you. I'm glad you hopped on.
All right.
All right. Bye, girl.
Bye.
All right, Marilyn. Okay, we actually do have a couple of questions that Emily was sweet enough to throw in the Slack for me. Ask, I am being good about acknowledging my being full, but I'm having a hard time planning my food and stopping before I clean my plate. Suggestions. Stopping before I clean my plate. I have a couple of suggestions. We've got the leave the two bite rule behind, but my biggest suggestion is just decide to do it. Today's the day, just like Kat. We're just going to do it. We just keep going. I'm telling you, I want you guys to think about this. In your brain, you're going to leave, especially this person who asked, they're having a hard time leaving it behind. You've got to remember before you sit down, be intentional, be there, do the monk meal, make it more intentional, but also decide it's just okay to put it down and walk away. If you decide you need to go check your phone, go check your phone. Just stop eating. There's no need to eat and then go do those things. The second question is, I noticed when I felt enough, my brain had a little freak out. Wow, you are overeating a lot. Outside of the monk meal, a little overwhelmed with that realization. Okay, if this was you and you found this, nothing has gone wrong. This is why we did the monk meal. We wanted to see this because now your brain knows that sometimes you overeat. Sometimes you may need to be aware you might overeat this meal. This is a lot less than I normally would eat because I'm paying attention. So just be aware as you're going into it. Do anything you need to do. If you're getting your camp swag box in, throw that stuff all over your house so you can remember no BS. Seriously, that's why we give you those things. Use the sticky notes. Put the things everywhere you want to remember. You want to remember to be aware. And remember, it's not hard to stop eating. Does it take a lot of effort to stop? No. We just have to decide to stop. All right, Marilyn, thanks for hanging out. First of all, I love your hair. All right.
Hey, thank you.
You are welcome. I love it.
Thank you so much.
How can I help you today?
So this has to do, it seems like a theme of stopping eating. And I have noticed two things. One, I actually need to give myself something else to do. If I think I'm done eating, it's not good for me to just sit there and think, am I done? Am I not done? I have to get up and go do something else, telling myself I can eat more if I need to.
Yep.
So I ate today very slowly and it was wonderful food. And I stopped and I wasn't sure if it was enough. And about 2 hours later, so then I'm spending like 2 hours thinking, did I have enough? Didn't I have enough? Then it got to 2 hours and I thought, well, I need another bite of food. And I noticed that I am confused. I was quite hungry when I sat down for lunch.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like being hungry. Mm-hmm. I chewed, I ate slowly, but then I thought, you know, I've had enough. And then I got stuck there. I didn't eat any more food, but I'm new.
Is this a bad thing? Is this a bad thing that you got stuck and you stopped eating?
I'll tell you, I don't know if it's, I feel like I'm, so just I actually was lucky to learn this method about 30 years ago, and I was thin for my adulthood, and then I got heavy after my mastectomy.
Okay.
I'm just telling you this because I don't think it's a bad thing, but, or maybe I'm just surprised I'm so confused.
Yeah.
About whether or not I'm full. Well, it's my body, but I am confused.
But you're not. You didn't eat, which means you weren't hungry. What you're confused about is agreeing with yourself and trusting that you're actually not hungry. All day long, what you did was question. You're questioning, well, do I need that last bite? I left a couple. So your brain, your thoughts are all wrapped up in that last bite. Ooh, what if that was the last calorie I needed to make it to sleep tonight? And I'm not going to have any dinner and I'm not going to have, like, that's where your brain goes. Like, we immediately go into that panic because we're like, we didn't get the same amount we normally got. Are we going to make it? Is this known? Is this not unknown? But that's where it's not actually a problem. Your problem is you're letting your brain fight with itself rather than just listening to it in the beginning.
So I sat down. I actually had enough to eat.
Yes, you did. You succeeded. The part where you're struggling is turning that brain and getting it on board that you did the right thing.
True.
What did you do wrong there? That was why I asked you, did you do anything wrong?
I see.
You just questioned. And that's okay. We want a question because now we know. Oh, I lost you. That's okay. I can move you up so I can see you. Don't you worry.
Okay. I took my hand down.
That's okay.
That's what
happened to you. But what happens is you're eating and you listened.
Yeah.
And then you left dinner or you left your food.
Yeah, I did.
And then we started questioning if we made the right decision, right?
Yes, because I ate a surprisingly small amount of food.
Yes.
Like I sat down, I was really hungry, you know, that really hungry stomach growling feeling. Mm-hmm. And then I noticed I'd actually gone out for Burmese food. I noticed I just didn't need to eat anymore.
Okay. Tell me this one thing. What was your thought when you noticed you didn't need to eat anymore? Were you upset?
No, it was a nice day. I was sitting out. I'm in California. It's a beautiful day in Oakland and just sort of looking around. It's like I actually for a little while stopped thinking about the food. It was right in front of me, but I was talking with my husband and the meal for me was over. And then as we were leaving, I thought, well, wait a sec. I didn't have another bite, but I thought, wait a sec. It's sort of like, wait one second here. Did I get enough to eat? And I figured, look, the meal is over. We've packed it. Mm-hmm. I can eat more when I get home. And that's when I started, didn't I get enough?
Yep.
But I rode my bike home. I rode my bike a couple hours and I'm riding my bike thinking, God, do I have enough fuel to get home? I mean, did I give myself enough food to ride my bike? I did.
Yes. Most of us did. I was just having this conversation with my private client the other day because she's working on the fear of not being able to have, like, there's a surprisingly little amount of food and she's having a really hard time with it. Yes. Very similar to like what you're talking about. And I was explaining to her that, and her thing was, it was a cupcake or a burger. And she wanted the cupcake. She had had it on her plane earlier, decided she didn't want it, and then went back and the cupcake was there. And so she had it as like a dessert with her burger. The problem was she ate a burger and the cupcake was left. So she still didn't get her cupcake.
I know that feeling.
And so she's sad. She was sad about it, which a lot of us would be. But the only thing is why didn't she have her cupcake to begin with if that was what she wanted? The same amount.
I get torn. Sometimes I want two things.
But does it matter which one you get?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't. As long as you're happy with what you get, it doesn't matter which one you get. And we do this a lot with weight loss. We want these foods. We say we want all these foods, but we also want weight loss. So the key comes in the moment to ask ourselves, which one would we like more today? Is this cookie or this cupcake going to value the same amount? And you can do the same thing with your bites. Am I going to be okay without this bite? Is that bite going to add value? Do I need that bite to drive my bike home? We have lots of food that it can tap from.
Right.
Lots of food and energy in the body to pull from.
Yeah, I think it's just partly, I have an idea about how much to eat. I have an idea about what to eat. I do have sort of a diet mentality. I definitely think a salad is better than a cupcake. Sometimes I want the cupcake. I am telling myself now, my son, actually my 17-year-old, made chocolate chip cookies and put a whole bag of cookies aside for me. And I thought, I don't want any, that's not what I want to be eating right now.
Yeah.
And it was fine.
Right.
He didn't take it personally like me. When he doesn't eat, I take it personally.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just like my mind is churning a bit with thinking, I actually knew, I think one of my problems is I knew how to do this before. I had a huge trauma around my cancer and my mastectomy, and my body will never be the same.
Marilyn, I want you to remind yourself that this isn't just like every other time. You've done this before, but this is a different program. We're not listening to what happens. We're listening to how our body, what our body is telling us. Is your body telling you you need that extra bite? Is your body telling you you need the cupcake? Is your body telling you you need the salad?
Right.
It's up to your body. It's up to you this time.
No, that was the whole program was Susie Orbach, Fat is a Feminist Issue. It was just letting go of restrictions, and I lost a ton of weight. I think the difference now is I'm older and I'm a cancer survivor and my body's really different.
Yes.
And listening is quite.
You just have to relearn it. Yeah. It's like relearning your body again.
Yeah. That's exactly. I am relearning my body.
Right. So nothing's gone wrong in the afternoon when you're worried going back and forth if you had that last bite or not.
Yeah.
That's you relearning your body.
That's what I'm doing. Thank you very much.
You are so very welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. It's 7 o'clock on the dot. We're supposed to be an hour long. So I'm going to shut this off now. I'm going to double check with Emily just to make sure there's no more asks. Thank you all for coming tonight. I really enjoyed it. If you did not do a monk meal, go ahead and try a monk meal. Try it. It is worth it. Figure out what your brain is doing. Where is it going? The whole nine yards. It really helps you figure out what's going on in your head while you're eating. Notice everybody we talked to, it went back to normal eating days. So these monk meals aren't just for eating and turning our brains off and seeing what's in there. Our brains are going to go to what we're used to doing. That's why you can see into it. These are a fantastic gift we give you. So be sure to use it, and we will see you guys later. Bye, guys. Have a great night.